5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
When I had come down this hill, I had seen this creature cross the road. It would have ripped my locked door from my truck, extracted me from my vehicle, and there wouldn't have been a damn thing I could have done about it.
This thing, I got to notice in its eyes. Its eyes was real, real evil, real sinister. The look it was giving me.
What are you reporting?
Jesus Christ, you better... Sheriff, see ya!
Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Uh-oh.
Welcome to Sasquatch Chronicles, a place where people share their encounters. Let's start the show. Welcome to the show, everyone. Thanks for being here tonight. Hope you're having a great weekend. Hope you're getting a good start to your weekend. As for the moment, just sit back, relax, enjoy the show. And thank you so much for listening. You know, I know on the last couple shows, there's been some audio issues. And it's tough. You know, sometimes the audio is only as good as a person's phone on the other end. And I want to give a quick shout out to Chad. He's on SasquatchChronicles.com. He posted a message and said, "Hey, Wes, why don't you use Skype?" And to that, I said, "Okay." And it seems like it's working out pretty good, but tonight will be the test of all tests to see how it sounds. I'm pretty confident that you'll be able to hear the guests a lot better tonight. So thanks for your patience, and thanks for being here. If you get a chance, please visit SasquatchChronicles.com. There's a daily blog I've been trying to keep up with. And I know throughout this week, you'll notice there's been a lot of shows, and I've been opening up a lot of member shows to everyone. But if you get a chance, please visit SasquatchChronicles.com. Just go check it out if you get a free moment. If you enjoy the show and you enjoy listening, a lot of hard work's gone into the site, so I hope you get a chance to check it out. Well, Will, I want to welcome you to the show. I appreciate you coming on. I talked about your blog post that I put up, the why do we believe in the boogeyman? And it was a cool blog post. I mean, it was cool. You should be a writer. It was that good.
Thanks.
A lot of the people on the website loved it. And I wanted to invite you on. I appreciate you taking the time to come on and share your story with us. Now, your encounter happened here in Washington State. Mm-hmm. And it happened when you were younger. Do you want to kind of start from the beginning? Tell us what happened. Tell us what you were doing, and then what you saw.
Sure thing. I was, right about 12 years old. I think it was exactly 12 years old. When thinking about it and the circumstances, but I was just a kid, just a boy, and I had just moved into a scout troop, and a good buddy of mine and I decided to go with this new troop to a fairly remote campsite. My recollection of it was called Camp Brinkley, but one of your listeners did some research for me, which is really cool of him. I think it's Papa Yeti, I think was his name, but he did some research and found Camp Brinkley, and it is still a scout camp. But I was doing a topical over it. I went to Google and I was looking at it. It didn't seem as remote as I remember it. Anyway, so I was doing a topical. I was looking the camp up, Camp Brinkley, with Skype, but it didn't seem as remote. So I think it may have been a different camp name that I just don't remember anymore. Because this place, this camp, was just out in the middle of nowhere. I remember driving on a dirt road for what seemed like forever to get there. We were in this big old suburban, and the Boy Scouts were throwing up on each other because it was just a nasty road. It was terrible. And I remember getting there, but it was just a boy's paradise, you know. They had a mine there, if I remember right, and they had tools. You'd find tools just buried in the ground, just laying all over the place. And, you know, while I was there, someone found an axe head that someone had left behind from hundreds of years ago, or 100 years ago it could have been. But the place was operated with an old lumber mill generator that they had that was left there, and I guess the water tasted great. Well, it's Washington State too, you know. The water always tastes great up there. I live in Sacramento now, so I have a great contrast. Anyway, so bottom line, it was a great place for I was having fun. I had a blast, and it was the second day into a 7-day scout camp. I was waking up. We slept in these Adirondacks. If I could paint this picture, it was a three-sided building where on the three sides of the buildings there were two bunks on each side, so it would fit six scouts in that room. And in the middle of the opening, they had a fireplace, and so, you know, it'd keep us warm at night, relatively, and you could do cooking on top of it if you wanted. Anyway, so that's the picture, and you had to kind of step up into it. And we had one assigned, and where this was kind of sitting on just a little bit of an incline where we'd look down onto a valley it was spectacular. It was beautiful, green, you know, typical Cascade forest. And there was a little maintenance road to my left and had a downgrade a little bit that went kind of down into a valley. I have no idea it was beyond that, but that was just outside of our camp and our set of Adirondacks.
And then what happened? Was it the first night that you saw it, or was it the second?
It had to have been the second night, because I know we had a whole day of playing and swimming, and I was exhausted. I remember crawling into bed and I didn't move. And as I was waking up the following morning, I was, you know, I was well rested, and you know how when you have a good night's sleep and your eyes just kind of open and you're looking out and you don't want to move. This particular morning in question, I had a little bit of movement to my left, just beyond the wall that was blocking my vision. I could see fairly clearly. I'd say it had been 30 feet away, this massive thing moving into my field of view. And I couldn't believe my eyes. I remember blinking, and I shot up and I said something. I had a friend of mine that was in the bunk directly below me, and he said I grunted or I screeched or something. Maybe took just a deep breath in. I don't remember exactly what it was. But anyway, I sat up with a shot, and I'm looking at this thing, and it was this tall, hairy, massive thing. And when I say massive, the shoulders, it looked like a man with shoulder pads on. His deltoids were exaggerated. It looked like something that a comic book guy would do. And his muscles just tapered down from, he had a conical pointy head. It was kind of pushed more towards his chest. It wasn't sitting on top. It was kind of pushed forward, like he was kind of an ape-like way, where it was not sitting straight up, where he had his vertebrae would go straight up. It was sitting forward, more on his chest. Anyway, and I'm seeing his right shoulder, maybe part of his ear, but there's a lot of hair that was the color of the pine cones and the brown dropped fir pine needles on the ground. It was just kind of that rusty brown. But anyway, if you followed his back all the way down, he had no clothes on. It was obvious he had hair, but I could see the muscles moving underneath. You know, when someone, if you watch someone's back as they move, you see the flex of the muscles in the back. Like when they take a step, you see their lats kind of flex. But he'd do it so much that the hair would shake. And then he came down to a real butt, you know, no question. That was a butt. And the butt was flexing. And I saw the upper part of his legs, kind of his deltoids and his hamstrings. And those were flexing and moving. And I don't remember his calves or feet, because it's, if I remember correctly, and this is almost 40 years ago, I think that there was kind of a ledge there that kind of blocked the view of that as he was walking by. But as he's walking, he had his casual gait to him. He had a swagger, and he was walking like, okay, it's time to go home.
Yeah, just out for a stroll.
Out for a stroll. He's got his coffee in his left hand. I just can't see it, you know. And he's walking, but I saw both arms kind of swinging, kind of casual. And if I were to give it an equivalent, I would call him Shaggy from Scooby-Doo.
Right.
And he just had this kind of casual, you know, wow, I don't, you know, I'm having fun this morning, or I'm relaxed. And like many boys do, and I did myself, if I saw a sign that where I could slap it with my hand, if I could run and slap it with my hand, he just walked by this tree and raised his right arm and grabbed onto this limb that was shooting out over the road of this pine, and he put his hand on it and just kind of hung on to it. And as he was walking by, and just let it slip off and fall to his side. And he kind of glided down the road and disappeared from my view. But I was frozen in shock. And I probably sat there for another 5 minutes looking down there, just wondering what the heck I saw.
What did you think it was?
Well, a few years previous, or a time previous to that, I had an older brother that just loved to scare the heck out of my little brother and I. And he took us to the Boggy Creek movie at a drive-in. And I thought that's what it was. And I didn't want to make a sound because I didn't want it to come back and, you know, reach through the window and grab me. You know, yeah. So I was scared to death. I was scared to death.
You know, it's interesting. One thing that you said before with its shoulders and the way it's positioned, did it look like it was kind of hunched over? And I don't mean hunched over like an old man hunched over. I mean, you ever seen a someone that works out way too much?
Oh, yeah.
And it kind of pulls, like their chest muscles kind of pull the shoulders forward.
Absolutely. No, that's a good description. Yeah, it's like his lats and his pecs and everything kind of pull the top of him over a little bit. But no, that's exactly what he looked like. He was a muscle-bound creature. The thing was built, and I would have loved to see the front part of him, see what his chest looked like. It's just, you know, I'm sure it had the same definition, but the back was defined. You could see the delts. You could see the definition. The guy was, the creature was cut. He was really cut up, and you know, the muscles, when he moved, you saw every muscle. There's no fatty layer covering it.
What color was the creature?
No, it was like a pine cone or pine needle rust color. It was consistent top to bottom. You know what? No, actually, I have to say, I'm thinking about this. It may have been more towards down his leg. It may have been more of a black. But that could have been shadows, too. Again, I'm looking at a picture in my mind over time. But
yeah. No, he would have blended in pretty well with the terrain up there.
No, without question, yeah.
Do you think the creature was coming from your direction?
Hard to say. It looked like he was just walking down the road, which could have been come from another camp up the road, but it looked like he was staying on the road, taking the easiest path down. I don't think he was coming from my particular camp, no.
And how far away do you think the creature was when you saw it?
Well, if I were to, I'd say about 25, 30 feet, 25, about 30 feet, yeah, right in there.
So you got a pretty good look at him.
Oh, yeah, it was big.
So what happened next? So you're in your tent, or not in your tent, you're in the
building.
The building.
Yeah.
and you're sitting up, and I can imagine just sitting there for 5 minutes. Did anyone else see the creature?
Yes, a good friend of mine, Bob, and the bunk directly beneath me, did the same thing I did. He was also waking up, and he saw it. He saw the whole thing, everything I did, every detail, and we talked about it, and scared ourselves with our own descriptions, and we tried. And so we had talked about it, and then we had a leader. We thought we should tell someone because, you know, we from my own imaginations and from, you know, the movie, it scared me to death to think that this was just walking around here. And should we tell everybody? So I went to my scout leader, my direct report, as it were, which was a senior patrol leader. And he made every effort to make us feel bad about that and thought we were foolish for even reporting it. And he ignored it completely. And so Bob and I were both really embarrassed and decided just to keep it to ourselves. But the next day, we were working and pioneering, and we had these poles that we'd lashed together and stuff. And they're both exactly 5 feet. And we took them back to camp and we set them up next to this tree it was walking by. And we put them both onto the tree and found that the branch that he put his hand on, that he just reached up and grabbed, was about 10 feet above the road itself. Exact enough that we could put the poles there and it would just, those two poles would hold together. So it was exactly 10 feet. And then we decided that his head was probably about 2 feet beneath that. So the thing had to have been 8 feet tall, which is incredible. You know, we saw it with our eyes and we gauged it already that it was a tall thing, but 8 feet, I would not have guessed. But
it's pretty consistent with a lot of reports. You know, so they get a lot bigger out here in Washington, but I would say it's pretty average for the height.
Yeah.
I would imagine this has haunted you for most of your life, you know, mm-hmm. seeing this as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You had a friend of yours that actually had an encounter too. Do you want to talk about that? And was it a conversation that you brought up with him, or I'm always fascinated how these conversations get brought up among people.
we were at dinner and we were just, I don't remember what brought the subject up other than odd stuff. And he brought up and he says, yeah, well, you know, I had something that looking at me through a window. You know, I didn't put two and two together yet. And then he told the story about it. He doesn't want me to use his name. Yeah,
and that's okay.
So we'll call him Mike. And Mike said that he was up in the Yosemite area. It wasn't exactly in Yosemite, which I just found out. But it was near there. There's some cabins that you could rent. And he was in a very beautiful one. He remembered it being just gorgeous out in the middle of nowhere cabin that a lot of people didn't know about, apparently. But his family rented it. And he was younger. He was 22, 23. And he was up there preparing to go to medical school. So he brought his homework with him, and he had a laptop with him. And he was in a room, and I think it was his bedroom, but he was in a room leaning back on a chair, typing on a laptop, and there was a window directly beyond his frame of view of the laptop, and he was pausing for a second because he heard a noise, and then he looked up, and then he saw this ugly face, this face of a man creature, he called it, and he looked at it, and it was... He couldn't believe what he saw, and he said he was just staring at it, and it was staring right back, and he couldn't remember for sure if it parted his mouth and you could see its teeth or not, but he said it may have been my imagination that saw that, but he saw this face and finally realized that he was actually seeing a face through the window. He screamed like a girl, he said. And happens
to the best of us.
He dropped his laptop. He busted his laptop and ran out of the room. And he ran to where his family, his sisters, and his parents were. They're playing Sorry or something, a game. And he just sat there. And he said, I was trying to take in everything that I just saw. He said, I didn't tell anybody because I didn't know what, what did I just hallucinate this? I didn't want to go back and check. But he said, I was sitting there panting. And he recently told me, he said, I was looking around the room. And in one of the windows, he thought he saw something pass by the window, which solidified his experience. And so the next day, he was telling his dad, I think he said at breakfast, Dad, I saw something. And his dad kind of gave him a wry grin. His dad was a professional, and of course there's nothing out there we don't know, and of course not. And so they go outside, and it's winter, and there's snow all over the ground. And the minute when they stepped out onto the porch, they saw on the porch these big old footprints. And he said they had to be 14, 15 feet in length, if not inches. I said feet, didn't I? 14, 15 inches in length, and they're all over the porch, back and forth. So they looked out into this large area, which was like a grassy area. It was covered with snow. They saw these trails going in and out of the forest behind this, for this tree line. And then around the house, there's footprints, like something. He said a couple of things were kind of circling around the cabin. And he said he went by his window, and he saw by his by the window in his bedroom what looked like knee marks, like it had knelt down to look into this window. And I asked him if he could recall how tall that window was from the ground. He says that is, about 6 feet high. And so if it was kneeling down, you can understand the height of the creature that had to kneel down to look into the window. And so there's handprints on the wall. He said there's one wall that was dusted with snow. You know how that happens. And,
right. Yeah.
And he said there's a big handprint on the wall there, like it had used the wall to help stand up. And he said he put his hand up there. It made it look like a little kid's hand.
Wow. What did his dad say?
His dad he couldn't explain it. What did he say? He said his dad was dumbfounded. I think that was the word he used. And they had a dinner with a neighbor who actually was the one, I guess, renting the cabins or owned the cabins. And she had said that that's not uncommon, that Sasquatch is out and very healthy and wild out here, and they're just part of the wildlife and just to get used to it. And she explained how once there was a fallen tree where she had seen in the snow a bunch of, she called them butt prints, and in front of the and trampled down snow in front of the logs, which looked like they may have been feet marks. And she said and then a whole bunch of rabbit and squirrel and other animal parts in front of it. And she said, and when she turned around from looking at that, she could see a cabin, which was, half a foot, 50 yards away. And she said they were just having their fun, their dinner and a show, because at night cabins light up like a TV, and she called it Bigfoot TV, because that's that's probably part of their entertainment at night, is to go watch the humans walking around in a house. So, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting that the neighbor was so lackadaisical about it. Was that in Washington too?
No, it's that this story comes from Yosemite.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice to, especially when you come across someone who has had an encounter as well, and you can kind of share what each other's seen, and you know the other guy's not going to beat you up over it because he's seen it too, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. This has been very good for us to talk about it, because it's after that I kind of released and said, okay, there's something to this. Okay, there's something to this, and I started my wife says I'm obsessing, but... but I want to find out what this is and what science hasn't given us yet.
Yeah. I was real curious about Mitchell Townsend's paper he put together up here in Washington State with the bones he found. I don't know if you've seen that up on the blog yet or not, but it's pretty interesting.
Oh, you
know,
it really is. I mean, do we still have those bones?
Yeah, he still has them.
Excellent, excellent.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fascinating.
I'm working on getting him on the show, and I'd love to hear what he has to say. You know, that's the type of evidence that you can't. It's kind of hard to argue that type of evidence because it's hard evidence. You know, it's not a picture. It's not a video. It's not a hair sample that could be this or could be that. This is hard evidence of the teeth. And I think the powers will be that'll probably step in. And I think Mitchell will be under fire here shortly. But I hope not. I hope that he's able to keep moving forward with his research and I just want them to prove it, you know, let's keep all the hippies in check and let's just say it exists. There's no need to protect them. Let's just make a law where you can't shoot them and call it good. You know what I mean? I don't know why everything in life has to be so complicated.
Yeah,
you know,
and he sounds like he's following the scientific method. So this is, you know, I think he'll have fruit there. I really do.
Yeah.
Well, wonderful. I hope he's not keeping all his eggs in one basket, as it were. Hope he's spreading this stuff out. Literally, the evidence, keeping it in different places.
Yeah, I hope so, too. And I hope I wish him the best on it. I really do hope he's able to prove something from it. Sounds like he's already on the right path. So.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Well, thank you, Mike. Mike, thank you, Will.
I will thank Mike, quote unquote. Yeah,
Thank Mike for sharing that too as well. And I can't thank you enough for coming on, Will. I mean, I really do appreciate it. I know you're a busy man. I know you're a working professional too, and along with Mike. And sometimes it's hard to share this kind of stuff because you don't want it to come out. You know, people think you're crazy, but at the end of the day, you're not crazy. You know what I mean? These things are out there. And I wish the general public would accept the fact that these things are out there.
No kidding. This has been super therapeutic for me. And I know that I don't just speak for myself. I speak for a whole set of people here that, grateful for the forum, grateful for your easy interview manner and style. And I appreciate it. And looking forward to calling you up and telling you I got another account. So
I'd love it.
But I want to go to Texas with you so bad. I can't tell you.
Oh yeah, you should come next time we go to Texas. I'm telling you, those guys out there, if you want to hear some crazy stuff and you want to see some crazy stuff, I can attest to Bob Garrett is the guy to go out with, and Tim Sermons and Mo and all those guys down there. If I had lots of money, I would just hire a cameraman just to follow them around 24/7.
Well, I tell you what, if that happens, I think I'll go find a surplus down there and get myself a Bradley and stay inside. Just, you know, kind of doing the Jurassic Park ball thing from the movie.
Right.
Anyway.
From your tank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kidding.
Well, thank you, Will.
Oh, thank you. And you take care. I appreciate your show and keep it going. By the way, it wasn't too long ago that I listened to yours and your brother's account. And man, that had to be so scary. That had to be just, you know, I'm sure I'm saying things you've already said. I can't even imagine. Them targeting you and looking at you like you're food, and I'm going to get you. Or you interrupted, you know, our hunting, and you're going to pay for it. Oh, that just scares me to death.
Yeah, and that's kind of how we felt. We really felt like we were either food or we were on the receiving end of something.
Oh yeah,
it did. It scared me. I mean, I'm not ashamed to admit it. It really did scare me that night, and it's something that, you know, like any encounter, it'll stay with you for life.
Yeah. And what I don't understand is these things are, you know, could easily best any of us, but why do they run away when they see us? I don't know.
Well, not all of them run away.
That's true. That's true. And that would be a horrible thing.
And it's, you know, the people that have the probably the most violent encounters or have the most aggressive encounters, they're the toughest ones to get to come forward because they generally don't want to talk about it. It's hard enough to get someone who saw it on the street like you did, or sometimes in your car and you see one cross a road. It's hard enough to get those people to come forward, but there's people out there who've come. I just talked to a guy, and I'm trying to get him on the show. His dad had them all over his property, and he grew up with them around his property. And his dad always told him to stay at a distance from them. Mm-hmm. And as he got older and older and older, his dad, he talked to his dad, and his dad talked about shooting him. And he was talking about where you got to shoot him, hit him here, don't hit him here. And this is down south, so it's not like he was, you know, this is just a farmer.
Right.
That had problems with him, and they would take his cattle. They would come through and take the calves. They would come through and kill his animals. And in his dad's mind, they were a nuisance. And he was asking his dad, what are they? And his dad would say, I don't know. It's just a wild animal out here, kind of like a monkey, that causes trouble from time to time. And sometimes you got to put one down. He had asked his dad, well, how many of them have you put down? And this is back in the 60s. Mm-hmm. And his dad said he's put down about three of them. And it's just a nuisance animal is how he looked at it.
Wow. Wow.
So I'd love to get him on the show.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait for that one. Yeah. Well, good. Well, there's one thing that happened when I was a kid, too. I was out in Kingston, a small little remote cabin off of Kingston. As you take from Edmonds, this is up in Washington, take the Edmonds to Kingston Ferry, and then you drive about 2 miles up the road, and then you pull off into this. It's a private lake, and we pull off into a private lake, and there's a little cabin that was built in the 40s, just a smelly old cabin, and little old, you know, 10 by 20 cabin that was meant literally just to sleep in and store things in. It had a metal a garage door that would you tilt up and you could put boats and such in. Anyway, one night my brother and I were up there, and I woke up to something like a rock hitting the metal of the garage of the door. And this place gets pitch black. I mean, it's nasty black. They have an outhouse that at night you could use, but I never used it because it's just too dang scary to walk out there at night. But yeah. So something, you know, all of a sudden, I woke up to what I remember from waking up was a rock hitting the tin door. What was that? My brother woke up too. And then very short later, we heard which we found rocks outside on the moss outside that door was a rock. Something threw a rock at the door. Now, and the more I think about it, that just didn't happen. At the time, I just thought that was odd. That was weird. And, you know, but now that, you know, I'm hearing and reading stuff, that's a habit of of this creature, is they throw rocks. And so anyway, I found, you know, we found like six or seven rocks outside that door, little, you know, pebbles, you know, marble size rocks. But anyway, for whatever that's worth. Yeah.
That was out at a cabin you guys were staying at?
Yeah, there's a little cabin. It's Miller. It's nothing like it was, you know, 30 years ago, but it's a private lake called Miller Lake. You can easily Google it, but it's just outside of Kingston. It's a private piece of land, and which is sad. They're just about to sell it. They've logged a lot of it off, so I don't think there's the habitat that there used to be. And there's a lot of houses have kind of encroached on the lake, and it's sad. It's not what it used to be. And I don't believe that there's any activity there now. I haven't been there in 20 years. So,
Well, that's interesting. That's definitely a behavior that gets reported.
Yeah. Now I've done my job. I've reported it. Anyhow.
Well, I appreciate it, man, very much.
Okay. Well, thanks, Wes. I won't take any more of your time. I appreciate your interviewing, and I'm honored that I'm now part of your archive.
Oh, I'm honored that you came on, man. Thank you so much. I really do appreciate it.
All right. Take it easy.
Thanks, Will. I appreciate it, man, very much. Will was cracking me up prior to us going on the air. Will said, you know, I don't know anything about this podcasting or this radio broadcasting that you do. And I said, you know, that makes two of us. So, Will, thanks for coming on, man. I really do appreciate it. My next guest is Don, and Don's actually out in Oklahoma. Don's actually had a couple strange encounters around her property and around her brother's property, but she had an encounter where she saw one on an abandoned building. Don, thanks for being here tonight. When did your encounter actually happen?
I think it was about, 2007. I live in a small town in Oklahoma, northeast part, and my sister had moved back into town about, 4 or 5 years before this incident. And anyway, she had lost a cat, and it was on a Saturday, so my mom and I were walking up the street to try to help her find the cat. She was at home with the kids, and it was a clear, bright day, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It might have been a little bit chilly because I think it was around spring. We were walking east on the street, and my mom was busy talking to me. So, you know, I was looking around like I always do. And I noticed on this abandoned house that was over 100 years old, it was a metal roof, was this black, creature sitting on top of it. It was facing away from me, so I could not see its arms, legs, or face. And it was covered in black hair. And at first I was like, what in the world am I seeing? And I wanted to nudge my mom to look so I'd have a witness, but, you know, I didn't want to interrupt her talking. And I think my mother talking is probably what scared it off the roof, because as we walked closer, it jumped over the side, you know, the same way that we were walking toward the east. And when it did, I saw that it had, like, white hair on its backside. I mean, kind of like, I don't know why that was weird, but it's like it had not seen the sun or something, you know, I don't know.
That's interesting. So you guys are walking along and there is an abandoned house and you see this thing sitting up there, and this is in Oklahoma. What did you think it was when you looked up and saw that?
At first, I was in shock that I saw something inside the town limits, something like this, because, you know, there's houses all around this. I mean, the house is on a block that's covered in trees. So it's the only house on this particular block, but there's houses all over around it. About 85% there's houses around it. And when I first looked at it, I was thinking, well, I thought, well, maybe it's a man sitting up there, and I thought, well, that would be crazy because, you know, the property owner is an older woman, and she, nobody lived there, so I was thinking somebody's trespassing. But then I got to, as we walked closer to it, I was like, that is not a man, that is not a person, that is something. And, you know, living in here in Oklahoma, and sometimes I lived in Arkansas for a while, you know, we've heard of Bigfoot since we were little. So that kind of crossed my mind, but I thought, there's, you know, no way. I thought, well, maybe it's a monkey of some kind, you know, it's something. But it had a very broad back, and the head shape, I think, was just a normal, it didn't have a cone shape, so it's kind of like a normal head, but maybe bigger like ours. And then when it jumped off the roof, and it's a two-story roof, I kept expecting to hear it hit either the ground or a part of the other metal roof, because the metal roof was kind of loose, you know, from, you know, lack of use and care. And I didn't hear anything. And so by the time I got my mom's attention, you know, she didn't see it. It already went over. And so we walked around the block, and I kept thinking we were going to see it out in the woods, but, you know, out in this little wooded area. But the brush was really high. It probably would come up to your knees, anywhere between your ankles and your knees. And we weren't about to walk in there because, you know, didn't want to get bit by a snake or something.
Did you tell your mom what you saw?
Yes. Yes, I did. And she just...
What did she say?
She just kind of said, well, maybe it was a cat or a dog. I'm like, Mom, dogs don't climb the roof, you know. But I, she might not have said the dog part, but the cat. I said, Mom, this was not a cat. But I knew it wasn't a bear. I mean, we do have some bears here in Oklahoma, but they don't, as far as I know, they've never come inside town limits, but I knew it wasn't a bear. not what I saw, because it was sitting up there. I mean, I don't know what it was doing, but, you know, I could definitely tell when a bear, but Mom, she just said, well, maybe it was a cat. I said, Mom, that was not a cat. I said, that's the biggest cat ever than, you know,
right. Yeah.
My town would make a lot of money for that, you know, or somebody would.
Yeah.
So we go to back to my sister's house. You know, we didn't see or hear anything on the roof as we walked around the block of this. But when I got to my sister's and I told her what I saw, she said, well, that's funny, because she said the two little girls she babysat temporarily said they saw a monkey. And, you know, kids, they describe things, you know, as they see them. Up in the trees across the street from my sister's house, which is a wooded lot, and my dad owns it now, and it's still kind of wooded and overgrown, and it's really hard to take care of because there's a cistern on there. There's just all kinds of stuff, and it's kind of hard to mow around all that kind of stuff, so it is overgrown. And my sister just had dismissed it at the time, thinking the girls were just making up a story. And so, but my sister believed me, you know. About 2 weeks later, it was on a Wednesday night, I kind of skipped church, and I was walking down the street just to get some fresh air. It was about dusk. I was walking in the same direction, not even thinking about, you know, what I'd seen 2 weeks before. And I did kick myself mentally, thinking I should have brought my camera that I had just purchased on my walk. And, you know, I just figured, I wasn't ever going to see anything on a walk, but, you know, so I didn't, I just kicked myself thinking I should have brought my camera. But as I was walking 2 weeks later, that same direction, as I rounded going to the right, which would be going to the south, I heard these monkey noises, and it was very loud. I mean, extremely loud. And so I thought, oh, well, the neighbor, there's about four houses right there to the left. So the third house over, which their trailer sits in a weird direction. It doesn't sit, you know, facing the street. It's kind of like perpendicular or something. It's kind of weird. So I thought, well, they've got their windows down or open, and they're listening to some kind of movie or something. And then as I neared the house, I noticed their windows were closed. The door was closed. And then I could tell the sounds were coming to the right of me out where the lot was, where the wooded area was. And I got really scared thinking, okay, that thing that I'd seen 2 weeks earlier is up in the tree somewhere, but I did not look because I was too scared to look because, you know, I'm by myself walking. I didn't have the right shoes on to go if I had to run. I think I was wearing flip-flops or something, and I knew I wouldn't. They weren't sturdy enough for me to run for my life if I needed to. So as I neared the sound closer, all of a sudden it quit. And it was just dead silence in there. And I just walked as fast as I could. I didn't even look behind me. And then as I probably went at maybe about 20, 25 feet, and as the road curved, the noises started back up again. And I just kept looking behind my shoulder after that, and I said, okay, I'm going to get out of here. I was scared to death, you know, because
what did you think it was? You're hearing these monkey sounds. You're in Oklahoma, and you're hearing these strange sounds. What's going through your mind at this point?
At that point, well, that was a long time ago. Well, it doesn't seem like that long ago, but I was kind of thinking it's got to be a monkey or maybe even a small Bigfoot or something. And, you know, anything that wild of a creature, you know, I'm not going to get anywhere near it because I'm not, you know, quick to handle it, you know, physically, you know. That's what I was thinking it was, either a chimp or something like that, because the town, is it okay if I say the town I live in?
Yeah, you, of course,
okay.
Yeah.
I live in Tallala, and I belong to the Historical Society, and there was a chimp that used to live here years ago. But this was back in the 1940s. So what crossed my mind was thinking maybe it was an offspring of it. But I thought there's no way because I think it was a male and there was only one. So, you know, because I saw some newspaper clippings and, you know, I thought that is very weird. You know, that's just weird. But what I saw didn't really look like a chimp because it was too big. I mean, I've been to the Tulsa Zoo. I've seen the chimps there and the monkeys, and that's how I could tell it was a monkey-type sound. There have been reported sightings of Bigfoot in Watova, which is about 6 miles north of us, in Noxie and Nowata and the Ooltha Lake area, which is only 4 miles, you know, east of me. So we've got creeks that run through here and the Verdigris River and all that kind of stuff. And so I got to thinking, okay, that's weird what I heard. Then fast forward to about the, let's see, I moved to my current place about 3 years ago. So I just want to say 6 months before that, I was outside photographing. This is probably about 10 o'clock at night or so. It was really dark. So we have motion lights. So I turned off the motion lights on the porch, and this porch is really long. And at the end of the porch by the driveway, there was a spider web, and I was taking pictures with my flash. And I was facing south, and my brothers lived across the street from where I used to live, which was with my parents. And I got this creepy feeling that something was watching me, and I've had that feeling in the past before, you know, living there for almost, you know, 33 years, you know. It just gave me the chills down my spine. I said, well, because there's a street light right there, and you can't really see anything. My brother has these five Russian olive trees, and whatever it was, you know, I could tell it was in that area. Something about it just, so I just got creeped out, and I just kept on taking the photos. And then all of a sudden, I heard this grunting noise that sounded like a cross between a pig and a horse, you know, being dragged down in pain or something. It was this one sound, but it sounded like those two merged together. And it was over by the Russian olive trees where I got the weird feeling. So I got really scared. I crept up to the door, I left it open, and I whispered to my dad sleeping on the couch, you know, well, he woke up, and I said, Dad, there's something out here. And he just said, okay. And he went back to sleep. I was like, okay, I'm up by myself, you know. So my mom heard me talk to my dad, so she came out there with me. We stood on the porch. We heard it again, but it was behind my brother's house. Next thing I know, my youngest brother comes out with a flashlight, and he asked us if we heard it. I said, yeah, I heard it twice. So we walk over, and he said, I'm going to go check on the chicken. So he went and got his one of his shotguns or 20-20 rifle or something like that. And so we go out to the chicken little area, and there at that time we're enclosed in a barn. My brother, younger than me, you know, my oldest brother, he had built this pen to the door, and something had scared the chickens really bad that one of them laid an egg prematurely. And it was just all over down on her, down onto the ground. And they were just, you know, they were very nervous, and all the dogs were barking. And we weren't making any noise, so I don't know why the neighbor's dogs were barking. I'm assuming something, that thing that we had heard, you know. And my brother was in the kitchen when he heard it at his house, and that's in the back of the house. And he, whatever it was loud enough that he heard it. We go out there, and we didn't find any prints or anything like that. Then shortly after that, my brother decided he would build a chicken pen of his own. He, you know, he's phenomenal with wood. So it's really tall, and he has to climb a ladder to get the roof on, and he uses this really heavy black, I mean, I'm not a carpenter, so I don't know what it is, but it's some kind of, I mean, you can't just pull it and you come. I mean, you have to use physical strength to pull it, and he would nail it down. And we have a lot of high winds here in Oklahoma, and there's no way a wind could have done this. But the next one, after he'd gotten the black part laid down before the shingles, the next day he said something had ripped it and pulled it back over the other side. It's like a T, not a T, but kind of like a, you know, like an upside down V angle, like a normal house kind of like shape roof. So something had pulled it out of the nails and dragged it over. And my brother had a hard time pulling it back over. And he said, there's no way somebody would have done this, because they would have had to have a ladder to do it. And he thought, and the chickens weren't in there yet, so he thought that was a little weird. Then they had some mulch buckets that were picked up and I want to say probably seven. I'm not really good with measurements, but probably, I don't know how many feet away, because they own a lot of land, about six lots. Well, in Tallulah in town, it's a lot of land, but from the, where the barn was, it went all the way over past near their fruit trees, somewhere over there. So it's probably, well, it was under 100 feet away. So something had picked it up and carried it without spilling anything. And then they dropped it on the ground, or something dropped it on the ground, and some of the content spilled out. And they thought that was weird. And I took pictures of all that. My brother-in-law had worked at a food processing plant where they made chili and barbecue sauce and that kind of stuff. And he'd always give my brother these huge buckets to store stuff in. And there was some leftover barbecue sauce or something. And you could see finger swipes down at the very bottom. And I took pictures of those. And they're not very, they're like our size fingerprints, but, you know, they're definitely fingerprints in the bucket.
Right, yeah.
And I took pictures of that as well. And I thought, well, that's weird, because I thought nobody in town would do something that crazy. I mean, you know, there's pretty much, we know everybody and, you know. But one incident, before my brothers bought the house, we knew the woman because she went to our church. And her daughter, when her mom passed away, she sold it to my brothers. She just wanted the house gone, so she sold it the same day as the funeral. And my brothers were like, no, we can't do that. That's not disrespectful. And she insisted. She said, I've got things to do. I can't deal with it, you know, or something like that. But anyway, she did tell them, she goes, you want to be careful out in the barn, because she stepped in what she called human, you know, crap, for lack of a better word.
Right. Yeah.
And she had to throw her shoes away. And then we thought, well, that's weird, because there's nobody that stupid around town who's going to want to use the bathroom in a barn, you know, because all the stall doors were open. There's like one little area that has a small little door enclosed, but the rest of them were open. And so we thought that was weird.
Was that after they signed the paperwork? She's like, oh, by the way, there's someone crapping in the barn. And
yeah. That's exactly what happened. Yeah, she said, yeah, because. And I was like, wow, that's weird. And that, you know, that was before, that was before my encounter, because my brothers had lived there. I think they moved there before my sister moved back into town. So that's what I want to think. Yeah, somewhere about around that time. So, you know, I didn't put two and two together until I got to thinking about it, you know, that grunting noise we heard. And I thought, well, you know, I don't know, but next to my brother's house is the old church, and there's a swing set out there, and at night I would usually sit up there and look at the stars, but it's always really dark back there where the barn was, because it's about, I want to say maybe 30-some feet away, or maybe a little further than that from the main part of the house, and it's always dark because there's no light. And I always got the feeling I was being watched from behind. I mean, I could hear noises back there. And there's a few trees, but not very many. So I'd always get out of the swing and turn around to face it. And I just got the feeling I was being watched. So, you know, I thought, okay, you know, I'm just going to go sit out across the street, sit on one of the car hoods and just watch the stars or do something. Because I'm not going to be up there where I'm vulnerable, you know, because it was, it's very dark and there's no light. And then I do know on July 13th, 2001, it was around that time. It was between 97 and 2001, because I moved back in with my parents temporarily. That's when my sister got married, because we were living together and they decided to take over the payments of where we had been living. I had brought my cat with me, and she was a very protective cat of me. She would jump down and fight off dogs and come back up. You know, set it back in my lap and stuff. But the girls down the street at the time, it was probably about 5 or 6 in the morning, they got woke up, they had a sleepover or something, they told me that they dogs would were barking. It was kind of foggy that morning, but they could see something over in the schoolyard area where the swing set was, something big and black fighting with something. They couldn't figure out what it was. Well, the next morning, my mom took out the trash. I remember it was Friday, because that was the day I think she was taking out the trash, but they pick up the trash on Friday. And she came in crying, said my cat was dead. And, you know, of course, I broke down and cried. And I looked at my cat. She had three long scratches from, like, her neck all the way down to her groin area. And it's just, there were red scratches, but there was no blood spilled, no gut spilled. And I thought, if she got into a fight with a dog or something, she would be tore up everywhere. I mean, she'd have probably bite marks on her neck.
Right.
So,
yeah.
To this day,
it'd be a mess.
Yeah. To this day, I'm still puzzled as to what killed her, because they said it was something big and black, and they just thought it was a dog because it was too foggy. But it wasn't that foggy. They could see that what it was, but they just couldn't tell what it was. They just thought it was a dog. But I thought, well, you know, up in that point, we had a lot of our cats come up, you know, dead. And, I mean, neighborhood cats, and they were just killed in weird positions. One was found dead, you know, like it was drinking out of a bowl, just sitting there at my brother's house, you know, but it was before my brother's house, before they owned it, and cats dead in ditches and stuff. Just all kinds of weird deaths in the town, and I thought, this is just bizarre, you know, so.
Yeah, that is bizarre. You know, it sounds like there's definitely some activity going on there, especially at the monkey chatter you heard, the thing you saw sitting on a roof. You would know right away if it was a bear sitting up there. And most bears, I'll say most bears won't get up on a roof and chill up there like that. I mean, I suppose it does happen from time to time, but it would have been a clumsy, that thing getting down, you guys would have seen it, heard it climbing off, jumping off that roof. Bears really aren't sexy when they're trying to get down from an area like that. On an open playing field, they can run like the wind, but getting down from areas like that, they're just clumsy, and you would have known if it was a bear.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because there were some trees up there. You know, there's a bunch of really tall cedar trees that was to the left of the house. There was another big tree, I don't know what kind it was, near the house, but there was no way it could jump to a tree. But I kept thinking it had to somehow, because I didn't hear it make a noise when it hit the ground. I mean, I'd listened, but we didn't hear anything.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, in Oklahoma, there's definitely activity going out there. I had a guy, I can't remember if it was southeast Oklahoma or if it was Texas, and the sighting he reported to me was one was actually looking in the window of an abandoned house. And the way he described it was it reminded him of a big, somewhere between a gorilla and a chimpanzee, but it was standing up on two legs and it was actually looking in a window of an abandoned house. So it makes you wonder why it was up there. You know, there's a lot of different things that could cause it to do that. You know, maybe the previous owner was feeding it. Maybe there's, you know, who knows. But that's a very fascinating account that you have as far as seeing it.
Yeah, and what surprised me was it was in broad daylight in the middle, not, I wouldn't say the middle of town, but it's definitely on the outskirts of town. I mean, there's houses, streets, everything. I did have the opportunity to walk in the house after the woman who lived there, she was like in a nursing home or something, she had passed away. My dad was thinking of purchasing the house, you know, to restore it, you know, because the woodwork inside was phenomenal. It was just really beautiful. And every time I'd walk into a room, I kept thinking, okay, am I going to find, you know, monkey crap in here, monkey hair,
right.
Something. Yeah. Or, well, when I say monkey, I mean Bigfoot, because I think it's a primate, you know, but that's my opinion.
No, I'm with you on that. I tend to agree with you on it. I mean, I don't have one in my garage I'm studying, but all of the behaviors kind of point to it being some sort of non-human primate.
Yeah. And there is a pasture right to the, if you're facing the house and it's in front of you, and down the street a ways, there's a pasture where there's some cows, but there's a lot of trees because an old school used to be there. And there's like an old, they used to have an underground pool before our school consolidated with the neighboring town. And trees at night are very dark. Well, my sister one night was riding her bike and she swears something was following her along that wood line. And there are some cows in there, so she thought maybe it was a cow, but, you know, there's a street light there, but it wasn't very, it doesn't light up on that part of it. So she got really scared and thought something was following her. And, you know, cows around here, as soon as you approach them, they take off and run. I'm sure they're like that everywhere, but yeah, these cows were just, they're very skittish, but something was following her and she just got scared and she couldn't tell what it was, but you know, she's a believer like me, so we anytime we talk about it, we have to make sure nobody else is around us because they always kid us because, you know, when I told my brothers and my dad what I saw, they didn't really have much to say. They said, well, it's not a Bigfoot. It's their main thing. I'm like, well, how do you know? And then they go, well, how do you know it isn't? Well, it's probably the same way you know it isn't or it is because I just feel like it is, you know? I mean, they didn't see what I saw.
And it hurts too, especially when family doesn't believe you. You know, you can take the friends and associates that poke fun at you, but when family does it, it kind of hurts. Well, do this for me. When you're out and about in your area, keep your eyes and your ears open and, you know, let me know if you come across anything else. And I can't thank you enough for sharing your encounter.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I definitely will. And I do carry my camera when Mom and I go walking. I don't care, you know. If it's nighttime, I usually don't because the flash has to, you know, zoom in. But during the day, I always keep my camera handy. I've learned my lesson.
Yeah. Well, it's always stuff like this always happens when you're, you know, even if you do have a camera, sometimes you get so shocked. I've talked to researchers that had cameras in their hands and, you know, come across face to face with them and they're in such shock, you know, and they're out there looking for them and they're in such shock that they don't put the camera up and snap a couple pictures, you know. So fascinating story, and thank you again.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. And I will definitely keep you posted if I come across anything else.
Thanks for listening tonight, everyone. I really do appreciate it. And if you get a chance, please visit SasquatchChronicles.com. Check out the website. Don't make me sit here and play music all night for you guys. If you get a chance, please visit SasquatchChronicles.com for additional shows like you've been getting all throughout the week. A lot of hard work's gone into the site. And that's my pitch for the night, everyone. Thank you again for listening. I hope you have a great weekend. Come back Sunday. We're going to find out if Sasquatch resides in the Florida area. I'll see everyone back on Sunday. Have a great night. Spill